appreciate what you're doing. Okay, let's move to the calendar itself. We have some communications items lined up. 216 is first.
Request of Kirsten to address council regarding R2D2, R2S, houseless advocacy.
Kirsten, you here? Okay. All right, then next one, please.
217, request of Chris Halliday to address council regarding R2D2, sweeps, homeless advocacy.
She here? Chris? Okay. Then...
Mayor, I'd like to say something. I'm Sister Beverly of the St. Andrew Set Roman Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. Beverly, we need you to sign up for these slots, so... Let's get you to do that with Carla, but let's let Carla carry on with what we've got set up this morning.
Thank you, though. 218, request of Roy Pasco to address council regarding homeless and house issues. I've been informed he's not here.
Okay.
219, request of Christopher L. Meisner to address council regarding Right to Dream 2.
Okay, Christopher, he's come here. On up. Morning.
Chris Meisner, I'd like to talk to you guys today about the sweeps that are happening, and they just need to stop. They really do. I mean, in my opinion, it's a violation of human rights. Back in the 90s, a federal government came down and audited the city and slapped a big fine on the city for overpopulation of the jails, people sleeping on the mats, for a violation of human rights. It's basically the same thing out there on the street. I mean, all they're doing is sleeping. Also, I'd like to talk about InQtel and this fetus program that's going on. We got a big grant and brought the CIA in to surveil the houseless. And my opinion, who's going to end up paying for that? The taxpayers. It's another way for the city to make money off the homeless, in my opinion. And I looked at this Commissioner Reese's Prosper Oregon, and there is no help. There is sweeping them aside, casting them aside, pushing them out, and that ain't helping nobody. I wish more people on the city council here would act and make decisions with a degree of morality, okay, more than Ms. Fritz. I wish more people would look at it and more angles with a degree of morality rather than let's make a buck. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next.
220, request of Loretta Pasco to address council regarding clean and safe sweeps and police cleanups. I've been informed she's not here either.
Okay. Then let's move on to consent calendar. First, we've got... a couple of items pulled, so I want to note those. Unless there's dissent, we're going to return 227 to my office for more work, and someone has requested that we pull 232. So in a moment, we'll take a vote on the rest of the consent calendar, but there's an item or two on there that I think members of the council want to comment on. So, Commissioner Saltzman?
Well, I'd like to acknowledge that with our consent vote, we are appointing a new member to the Home Forward Board of Directors, and her name is Mickey Herman, and she is here in the audience, along with the chair of Home Forward, David Widmark. So we're, well, very pleased to have Mickey joining Home Forward Board.
Congratulations, and Home Forward's an amazing partner, and we all have a lot of work to do. So thank you very much. Anyone else? If not, then let's take a roll call on the consent calendar.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. All right, now let's turn to time certain, please. 221. Congratulations.
Accept the Customer Service Advisory Committee report. Customer Service Status Report Summary for 2011-2012.
Good morning. Who's on first?
Well, let's start with introducing ourselves. I'm John Dett with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. I manage our city-county information and referral program.
I'm Carrie Popenuk. I'm the call center supervisor of the Water Bureau.
And I'm Tina Keller. I'm the administrative supervisor at the Bureau of Transportation.
Hey, John.
All right, so we'd like to start by thanking City Council for this time for us to present to you our latest citywide customer service advisory committee status report. This is our fourth report since the inception of this committee 7.5 years ago. And this report and discussion is particularly timely, I think, because there are a number of current discussions and activities going on with regards to citywide customer service improvement efforts. Our report primarily highlights the work done across the city bureaus for the 2011-2012 fiscal year, but due to the nature of our data collection process and ongoing work with the bureaus, there are some things highlighted in the report that actually occurred into early 2013. Before we get started with our update, I'd like to thank the committee members. In the report, the very last page contains a complete list of committee members. All of these staff are busy folks with full-time jobs that take a little time away from their regular duties to help with the citywide customer service advisory committee's efforts to see improvement in customer service across the organization. So just want to acknowledge that. And then I'd also like to recognize Tenzin Chopal, who works for the city auditor's office and has been our staff support for the past couple of years. She helps us organize the meetings, develop agendas, write minutes, keep our website up to date, and is generally a document editor extraordinaire. Perhaps most importantly, Tenzin has an obvious passion herself for customer service excellence, which is demonstrated through her timeliness, accuracy, helpfulness, and commitment to service. So I just wanted to take a second to publicly thank her for all the work she does for us. For several of our current council members, you've been present at some or all of our previous reports, but I know there's a couple of folks that this is their first time, so I wanted to start with just a little bit of background. So in 2005, Mayor Tom Potter conducted a community needs survey, and from that implemented a series of what he called Bureau Innovation Projects. Bureau Innovation Project number 7 was to improve citywide customer service policies and procedures. I and about 20 other city staff, in addition to a handful of community representatives, met for about a year to look at how city bureaus were at that time looking at customer service and made a list of recommendations, including the adoption of some general customer service expectation documents, some recommended ways of surveying customers, workforce development strategies, etc. In order to usher through these recommendations, BIP 7 recommended the creation of an ongoing customer service advisory committee to work with bureaus to implement these recommendations. At that time, City Council accepted these recommendations, and in late 2006, the committee was formed and began to meet. The committee first looked at the list of BIP 7 recommendations and then broke them into three key areas that have been the focus of our work with bureaus and the evaluation since that time. The first area of focus was in creating a culture of customer service. This includes working with the bureaus to incorporate customer service as a key value in mission, values, and goal statements, strategic planning efforts, and customer service program efforts themselves. The second area is soliciting customer feedback. So this includes surveying customers, focus groups, formal complaint processes, secret shopper programs, and other customer feedback mechanisms. And then the third area was focused on workforce development. So that's everything from hiring, training, and evaluating employee performance for customer service. In November 2007, we held a kickoff event where we invited all the bureau directors and or their designees. And here we explained the BIP 7 recommendations and our role as a resource to work with the bureaus to help them implement recommendations and also to provide periodic status reports to council. We had several bureaus take us up on our resource offer. And then in 2008, we were able to gather our first set of status report updates as part of the budget document submittal process. As we started working with the bureaus in this way, we began collecting a lot of good examples of work being done across the city. So we created a toolkit of examples, which we could use as we were working with other bureaus to show things that were going on and help them with their efforts. This toolkit of examples, as well as our committee meeting minutes and other resources, can be found on our website, which is portlandoregon.gov/CSAC, which stands for Customer Service Advisory Committee. So you can check that out. Our first report then was given to council in November of 2008. At that point, bureau budgets were pretty good, and we did see a lot of new customer service improvement efforts and implementation of committee recommendations across bureaus. A couple of early adopters of note in that report were the Bureau of Development Services, the Office of Management and Finance, Revenue Bureau, and the City Attorney's Office. Our second report to council was given in January 2010. At that point, unfortunately, budgets had begun to decline. Bureau of Development Services was hit most severely early on, and because of budget cuts, we were forced to discontinue a lot of the efforts that we had highlighted in the first report. But then there were other things we were able to highlight, some very substantial efforts that had started in previous years were then starting to show results, such as Water Bureau and Portland Parks Customer Service Improvement Programs. There were also some smaller bureaus that we highlighted in that report, such as the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, the Housing Bureau, and the Portland Bureau of Emergency Management, that had gone through some substantial reorganization efforts and did a great job of including customer service values in their reorganization and strategic planning processes. Our last report, which was in 2012, I think it was January, showed significant effects of bureau budget tightening. Frontline services had been cut back in many bureaus. Customer survey and staff training efforts were largely cut, though many bureaus were still able to maintain a lot of their core customer service improvement efforts started in previous years. So that kind of brings us up to the current time. But before I turn it over to Carrie and Tina, who are going to highlight some items from the current report, I wanted to point out a couple of other important things about the report development process itself. The first is, for the past several years, bureaus have been required to submit updates on their customer and service improvement efforts as part of the budget document submittal process, in an effort to unburden bureaus and the budget office from having yet another piece of paper as part of the budget process. We have told the budget office that we no longer need this to be part of the budget process at this point, because we now have established relationships with folks in different bureaus to help us directly provide those updates to us. The report that you have is similar to past reports in that the main content is organized by bureau with a two-page rating sheet that precedes the written summaries. Important to note that this report is not an attempt to evaluate the quality of customer service being provided. We'll address this issue a little bit later, but to date we really don't have a mechanism in place that allows us to evaluate the quality of customer service being provided. So when you're looking at the rating sheet and the summaries, realize this is not an evaluation of the quality of customer service, but rather a status update of Bureau's efforts in sort of these key areas that I spoke about earlier. On the rating sheet itself, we used kind of a consumer reports style, where a full circle indicates that that's something that a bureau has completed and is ongoing. A half circle indicates it's sort of a work in progress. And then an open circle means something that's really not happening right now. All right, so I've rambled on long enough. I'm going to turn it over to Carrie and Tina, who are going to briefly highlight some observations from our current report.
Great. I'm Carrie Popenuk again. I'm the call center supervisor with the Water Bureau. And overall, you'll notice in this year's report that the rate of customer service improvements have leveled off due to budget and resource constraints. Despite the challenges, many bureaus have continued with efforts in previous reports, notably Parks and Water. Many bureaus continue to engage in trainings that focus on customer service. Some examples include the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, who held trainings for their agents on how to work with those with mental illness. And the Police Bureau's Advanced Academy training included customer service competency and improving community outreach skills training. Customer service improvements included modernization to the transportation smart park cashiering system, as well as parking enforcement's use of iPads, which helps them to report and track problems more efficiently. The Bureau of Development Services is in the process of implementing a customer service convenience that they refer to as ITAP. This allows customers online access to services provided by the Bureau and its partners. Bureau of Planning and Sustainability implemented a curbside collection schedule program to help remind customers of when their service days are. And the Water Bureau implemented a pay-by-phone system, allowing customers to pay their sewer, stormwater, and water bills 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by phone using their credit card or debit card. We implemented this program in January of 2013, and in 2013 alone, we processed almost 42,000 payments, totaling in $9.9 million. With that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Tina, who's going to highlight some of the reinvigorated efforts as budgets have improved.
Hi, I'm Tina Keller. I'm with the Bureau of Transportation. As budgets are beginning to improve across the city, we are starting to see some reinvigorated efforts around customer service. For example, the Bureau of Development Services is currently going through a strategic planning process, and they have focused on adding resources to programs that provide direct services such as inspection and enforcement. With their budget improvements, BDS has been able to conduct customer service training for their staff for the first time in 6 years. The Office of Management and Finance is implementing their 2012 through 2017 strategic plan, and they have identified quality customer service as their first strategic theme. As part of that, they have sent staff to customer service training and are in the process of developing a customer service survey for its bureaus. At PBOT, we recently completed some administrative reviews and in the spring created a business plan with a focus on improving public access to information, and we launched our new website in 2012. The Bureau hired an administrative supervisor, which is the role that I am in, and I've been tasked with reviewing bureau-wide customer access to services and streamlining business processes to improve customer points of entry. We're beginning with a customer intake review, and we will be working with a consultant to develop recommendations regarding business processes and best practices. In addition, all of the downtown frontline administrative staff will be attending training on emotional intelligence next month. Now, John will wrap up with some recommendations for council.
Okay. So those are just a few highlights. So there's 18 pages there for you to read through, highlighting kind of what's going on in each bureau over that time period. As Tina highlighted, talking a little bit about her work with the Bureau of Transportation, the committee, looking at their business processes and the way they deliver services to their customers, we believe a similar effort is needed citywide. Currently, the city is somewhat limited in its ability to make customer service improvements because it lacks a coordinated approach to providing services to the public and uses antiquated or insufficient customer management systems in a lot of places. Each bureau currently manages their customer relationships and service requests independently, which often results in a duplication of effort and lost opportunities for streamlining business processes. Currently, there is an effort underway to have a citywide business process analysis to determine if there is a centralized customer relationship management type system, often called a 311 system, that would make sense for the city of Portland. I know currently there's an RFP to bring in an outside consultant that is nearing completion, so the expectation is somebody will be coming in soon to begin doing some of that work, so that is exciting. And we encourage council and bureau leaders to support this independent and comprehensive assessment of how the city delivers services to our customers and how we may improve into the future. Over the years, I've had a lot of opportunities to talk to other cities that have implemented customer relationship management 311 type systems. And the number one challenge that they all cite to implementing these systems is overcoming internal organizational resistance. So we can't stress enough the importance of your leadership and support, as well as the Bureau leaders, to support this project in order for it to be successful. The other thing I alluded to a little bit earlier was the idea of a citywide customer survey. In the early years of BIP7 and the Customer Service Advisory Committee, one of the recommendations was that we look at a citywide assessment of the community's perception of how well the city provides customer service. There were efforts back then to work with the auditor's office to see if an evaluation of customer service could be included in their service efforts and accomplishments survey. At the time, After much discussion, it was decided that it wasn't an appropriate vehicle and that we really needed a different type of survey to successfully measure public opinion of the customer service provision. As mentioned earlier, the Customer Service Advisory Committee is a volunteer committee without a budget, so this idea of conducting a survey really hasn't moved forward in recent time. However, in the past few months, the committee has had conversations with both staff from the mayor's office and the chief administrative officer's office, and there seems to be a strong interest there in developing some type of tool for measuring customer service satisfaction of the community at large, which we would be very supportive of. Lastly, we encourage council to support individual bureau investments in workforce training, best practices implementation, customer input and feedback tools, as well as tools to measure customer satisfaction with city services. If and when budgets improve, we encourage council and bureau leaders to prioritize allocating resources to restore and improve frontline services and strengthen customer service skills within our workforce. That wraps up our update, but we'd like to give you all the opportunity to ask any questions of us or offer any insights you have regarding future efforts to improve customer service across the organization.
Thank you. Great report. I've got a couple questions, and maybe others do as well. One, John, for you in particular, have we been seeing a decline in the traditional call volume to 823-4000 and other telephone entry points versus the use of the web over the last few years? I would assume that's happening, that people are calling a little less and using the web a lot more. Is that indeed what's going on?
I would say that's true. I mean, I can speak for my call center, City County Information Line, that, we definitely get a lot more stuff by email and service requests online, and our call volume has gone down a little bit each year over the last several years.
So. Yeah, and then there's a countervailing trend. I happen to hear an NPR story this week about the struggles of the California providers that are trying to transition people under the Affordable Care Act, and they were finding that there were huge differences in cultural norms about whether people would participate in that kind of customer experience with government over the phone versus having or over the web versus having some kind of face-to-face contact, and that was pretty culturally specific to different groups that, in effect, the state's trying to market this healthcare change to, part of the cultural competency issue that you're looking at. But I'm wondering if we even know the scale of that problem in Portland. Seemed like an intriguing finding that they were having, and they're literally in real time finding out whether or not they're going to get enough people signed up. And depending on who you're marketing to, within different ethnic groups within the state, they were finding huge differences in connection, whether there was a face-to-face conversation involved or a web conversation or a phone conversation. So something else for us to consider as we've become a lot more diverse.
Yeah, no, I would expect that. And I guess the other thing I would add, too, when you talk about the online stuff is I know I've seen a lot of cities, especially that have gone forth with these CRM 311 systems, and, they're much more capable of offering a lot of online services than we currently are able to. And I know I'm an online person, so if I don't have to call somebody, I usually do my stuff online. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot of people that way, but that's another thing that I've seen is very exciting about what some cities have been able to do with enhancing sort of the ability to do a lot of things online. And we, like BDS is currently, the ITAP project is a good example of that. I think that can really help. But I think there's a lot of things that we could do a lot better with our online offerings. So.
Thank you. Other questions, comments?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. This discussion reminds me of the discussion we had last week about technology. And it's really about how you have uniform systems within a commission-style form of government where there's historically been incentive for bureau-by-bureau innovation or progress, but it's more difficult to mandate system-wide conformity. So you've made some interesting comments in your report. I just wonder if you want to amplify, assuming we don't change the charter and we continue with this form of government, if you were king or queen for a day, what are some things you would do to make sure that there is more uniformity and in customer service?
King for a day, wow, okay. I don't personally, I don't think there's anything about our form of government that should prevent us from being able to do things better citywide. I mean, I think, like I said, most cities that I've talked to that have implemented any sort of citywide customer management systems, you know, it's a challenge no matter your form of government. But I think, you know, that the support and understanding from the top of the, how it can be done and also selling it to the bureaus to some degree in terms of what it can do for them. Because, I mean, really, when you're talking about, you know, sharing data and using a common system, there's a lot of efficiencies that can be gained, and, you know, bureaus can focus on their specialty versus having to field any question that they might get that doesn't really pertain to what they need to be doing. So I think it can be done, but I do also think that it needs to be supported at the highest levels for it to happen. So.
And if I could just follow up on it, you have a chart in your report that, that shows where we are in terms of compliance by bureau with where we are in terms of status,
right.
Status report. And that's important, but that looks at it from the point of view of have we completed the task? Is it in progress? Is it partially? What we don't really have is a way of gauging in kind of comparative terms how bureaus are actually doing. So is there some metric out there where annually we could see that city attorney's getting a B, auditor's getting a B+, fire and rescue's getting a C, and there's an agreed upon matrix that and set of standards that's more customer focused and less sort of process focused in terms of where we are?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's when I mentioned a little bit about some sort of a tool to measure customer satisfaction that would be citywide. You know, a lot of the bureaus do survey customers, some of their customers, and, you know, this report kind of shows you which ones are doing it, which ones are kind of doing it. But, yeah, it's all apples and oranges right now in terms of trying to really compare anything. As I mentioned earlier, we have had some conversations with a couple of staff in the mayor's office and the chief administrative officer's office that seem very interested in coming up with some kind of a tool. But again, I think it's kind of complicated in that we have so many different types of customers. You know, we're enforcing code on folks. Those are customers.
Yeah.
We're helping them with reserving parks. That's a certain kind of customer. We've got folks that are advocating for policy. Those are customers. So there's, you know, a lot of, so it's tricky, but I think it can be done, but I think we would need help.
I guess what I'm just offering is something for you to think about in your good work is that by the time a report comes to us, we often are given information that sort of documents whether progress is being made towards certain goals and whether, you know, things are being done. And that's fine. But it doesn't give us the sort of, you know, kitchens on fire type information that would necessarily lead us to take action, and it's a chronic issue that we have. We often we get updates. We're loath to sort of call out problems of a certain kind, but if there was an agreed upon ranking or something else that flags a problem, so that the mayor or the commissioner in charge or the council as a whole could dive in. I don't know what that is, but, you know, for example, we have all these different systems now for pay by phone. The one thing we don't really know is, from the customer's point of view, which is working. I mean, Water Bureau has a pay by phone, but it's not the only pay by phone system in the city. You know, as we're very proud of the pay by phone and monthly billing and all the innovation at the Water Bureau, but is our approach the right approach? Is PBOT doing an online system that has some innovation that we could learn from? And these conversations tend to happen, you know, in isolation. And I just encourage you to prompt us with ideas about how we can migrate experience, how we can make sure that best practices, even within under our own roof, become the norm. And then how do we call out shortcomings? We're very polite in showing that, you know, we're in process. But what's not clear, less clear, is what's the problem area that needs our immediate attention? So anyway, just food for thought, and thank you for your thoughtful work.
Yeah, no, we would love to have that sort of a tool in place, but I think it's a little beyond our current capabilities to do that. I think we would need
a mandate.
Something outside.
You'd need a mandate from us through the CAO.
Yeah, I mean, this committee was never set up as an enforcement committee. It was an advisory committee.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's part of the, we want to be helpful to the bureaus, but we also want to provide updates to leadership about how things are going. So it's,
and the reason I'm flagging it is just to get your thoughtful consideration, not to add more to your plate, but as you think about it over the next year, if you have ideas that you want us to consider, and maybe they're structural changes, maybe it's a new assignment for the CAO, maybe it comes in the form of a mandate from the mayor in terms of measurable progress or outcomes. I don't know what, but I think you might have a thoughtful perspective on things you want us to consider.
Appreciate it.
Other questions, comments, please?
Just a couple of comments. Tina, Andrea Valderrama and my staff has been working with PBOT folks on following up the mayor's comments on dealing with specific communities. So she's been talking to folks about how to make sure that our outreach efforts on specific projects reach people of, you know, from different immigrants and refugees, people of different languages, et cetera. But it occurs to me that customer service and outreach are closely related. So I'm going to ask Andrea to follow up with you on the customer service efforts. I also just want to make a comment about BOAC, which is that BOAC continually wrestles with, I mean, that sometimes they write up employees for professionalism in dealings with customers. And it is sometimes a delicate balance between you need to end the call to get on to the next call to make sure that, you know, somebody is taken care of and safety issues are addressed, but you also need to be polite. And it's something that is, you know, that they constantly talk with their employees about, yes, you need to move on to the next call, but you also need to leave people feeling, you know, respected. And that's something that, you know, they're continually talking about. I mean, one thing that they raised in terms of doing their own survey to determine customer satisfaction is they're not quite sure how to do it in a way that would be respectful to everybody. I mean, if you're calling somebody up who lost a family member in a deadly incident, I mean, you don't want a, you know, person brightly calling up and asking, how was your customer service experience? So they were expressing to me that they'd like some help figuring out, I mean, if they had the resources to do it anyway, how would you do a survey in that complicated situation? So apparently Chief Reese has worked with PSU to develop a survey on police issues, and we'll talk to him about how that worked. But I just wanted to raise that customer service is something that BOAC thinks about a lot, and there's some unique challenges there I think they need to deal with.
Good points.
But John, could you talk a little bit about the 311 system and where we're at with getting that implemented?
Well, let's see. My understanding is that there, like I said earlier, there's an RFP in process to bring in an outside consultant to look at the city's current service delivery systems and then, you know, see if there's a business case to be made for looking at a more coordinated, centralized system that could involve a CRM, customer relationship management system, could involve a 311 call center. And I know it's Bureau of Emergency Communications is in the lead on that, so working with Commissioner Novick's office. I'm not on the current RFP committee, but I know a couple people that are, and it sounded like that was supposed to be done near the end of this month. So I think the hope is that this outside consultant will come in and start doing some work shortly thereafter to meet with all the different folks in the bureaus to find out the current status of things and to come up with a plan to bring back to you guys about where we might go with that. So.
Thank you. And for those watching at home, could you please give the phone number and the email address for the current information and referral service so that if somebody doesn't know which office to call, what the staff member
is? Yeah, so the closest thing we have to 311 right now is our information referral program, which is what I supervise. So it's 823-4000. It's our phone number. And then cityinfo@portlandoregon.gov is the email address. If you want to do email requests of any sort, you can send emails there.
Thank you very much for that service, and thank you all for your customer service committee advice to us. It's very helpful.
Okay. Other comments? Well, thank you very much. We'll see if we have anyone signed up to testify on this.
No one signed up.
Okay. Well, John, Carrie, Tina, thank you for your work and the rest of your committee's work. Thanks for a good report this morning. Let's take a roll call on accepting the report.
Motion. Second.
Okay.
Fritz.
Thank you again. And this is very helpful. And I read over my own goals and find I'm already failing because I haven't kept up with my emails as much as I could have done. But still, it's good to have goals. Aye.
Fish?
Yeah, I want to thank you for your thoughtful report. The new secret weapon in my office is a guy named Aja Blair that we hired, and he used to manage the highest volume Starbucks in Oregon. And as a Starbucks manager, he was fully trained in every aspect of their business model, and obviously customer service is at the top of the list. So he's helping us think through, you know, different ways of engaging the public, responding, you know, and it's really helpful. And obviously this is an ongoing effort. I want to just go back to something that I mentioned, though. We get a lot of reports and it has data, but what sometimes is equally helpful is a focus on where's a problem you want us to address and act. And that's the harder thing given the blizzard of information that comes our way. And so I just encourage you to think about beyond the very useful information that tells us where our own bureaus and our own charges are in this process. Is there something else you'd like us to do in the future, either at the mayor's level, the council level, which sort of is more proactive, and that may include policy changes that you recommend, and how we manage these systems. So, thank you for your work. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you, Carrie, John, and Tina, and all the members of the Customer Service Advisory Committee for your report today. I take great pride. One of my proudest achievements when I was commissioner in charge of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement was consolidating the city and county information and referrals. So I just want to particularly single out John and your shop because you do an outstanding job. I mean, it's, you know, when I need to contact somebody at the county and I don't know how to get a hold of them, I call you, and you put me through to the right people, and I'm just always amazed at how well you do your job. So thank you, and all of you, thank you for your good report, and you'll keep us on our toes. Thanks. Aye.
Novick.
Thank you very much for the report and the presentation, and I appreciate that, you know, this is extra work for you, and I know that a lot of hours went into this, and it's very helpful for all of us. Aye.
Hales.
Well, it's been a good discussion. I think it highlights what you and your colleagues on this committee already know, which is this really matters, and it's big and complicated. I mean, while we were having this conversation, there were probably a couple hundred contacts between citizens and one or more of our bureaus, and as you said, all kinds of different customer experience, whether it's a, you know, backed up sewer or how do I get a zoning change in the process to, you know, a crazy variety of things. And literally thousands of times a day, there are those kinds of interactions. As it happens, I was having a conversation Monday night with our acting CAO, who's actually really interested in this, and he knew about your report. And he said something, as Fred typically does, that was both wise and provocative. And he said, yeah, it'll be tough to keep up with the competition on this. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, the gas company and PGE both just won national awards for their customer service. You know, they are in trade associations, and they evaluate each other, and it's a little simpler for them because they have a narrower range of business than we do. But he said, they apparently in the country are the best in the business. So here we have citizens interacting with big, complicated bureaucracies. Some of them are ours, and some of them are others. And apparently their customer experience with those other two organizations is really great. So we have to rise to that standard. Otherwise, we look like, you know, we're really a poor performer in terms of customer service. And, you know, it's typical of Fred. He said something that made me think, and he obviously was paying attention to your work referring to this report. So we have somebody as our acting CAO who gets this, and I think he'll be helpful to make sure that this work does get noticed and not just validated, but maybe raised to the next level by the five of us here who have to send that kind of signal to all the bureaus in order to make more progress. But thank you very much. Aye. Good work.
Thank you.